irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch here on LA Talk Radio. Welcome. As always, a great show for you today. And what I'm going to be doing is answering your questions that have gathered up here during the last 3 weeks or so from listeners. So this is what we're dedicating the show to today, helping you out. Getting you straight on some things that you need help with, whether it's relationship issues, personal self-esteem issues, social anxiety issues, things like that. So what I've done is I've called the listeners and people who've written me and let them know I'm going to be answering their stuff today. So I want you to kind of know that, we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but I'm happy to give you suggestions and ideas about how to manage some of your questions. You know, just kind of putting it out there to help you out, give you things to think about. And as I always say, you know, it's important for you to reach out for help. Contact a therapist if you need to in your area. There's a lot of good ones out there who take what are called fee-for-service, payments that are not that expensive if you don't have insurance. So, I mean, you just kind of have to look around. A lot of great clinics, a lot of really good people. Colleges also have amazing psychologists and therapists there, too. So that's, first of all, something that I suggest you do. But I'm happy to help you here on the couch, as always. My email address here, of course, is straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And this is where I got most of the questions that I'm answering today. Also, if you want to call in, that's cool. Love to hear from you. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And I will also really be focusing on the email questions that I receive. But go ahead, call me if you have a question about something you want to get help with. And I want to thank my sponsors for today's show, Glow Soulware, and also AskARelationshipExpert.com. I'll be telling you about those great companies in just a little bit and what they can offer you to make your life better, having higher vibes and getting some good relationship help, too. So let me ask you some questions out there, guys. Huh? Why can't you find the right partner? What's up with that? You know? And once you find the right person, how are you going to keep that relationship strong and happy? How are you going to keep yourself from being a crazy person? Have people accused you? He's kind of crazy. She's crazy. I mean, we all get suspicious of our partners, and we all impulsively blurt out things that we really don't mean. But, I mean, how can you control these things? Zip it. Think before you speak. Be a little more introspective. Go inside. Find out what's bugging you. What's going on? Are you still out in the dating world? Or have you just kind of been tossed into it all of a sudden? Well, how are you going to handle that? So today I'm going to give you some of my answers to all of these and more questions. Like I said, that some of the listeners sent me. So let's get to it. And if you have another question too, I encourage you, email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. We'll try to cover that. We have a lot to cover today. Some really great subjects that I think apply to everybody listening. Not all of them, but most of them at one time or another. So you may know that I occasionally have appeared on Entertainment Tonight as a body language expert. And what I do is I help analyze some of the body language of high-profile celebrities who've been interviewed with Oprah. You know, I'm trying to determine whether they're being truthful or if they're protecting themselves or if they're showing any other kind of odd body behavior that is indicating that what they say is not what they mean. And body language is not necessarily a hardcore science, but what we do is we look at certain gestures, and it's used in all sorts of companies, used in the government, to really find out if someone's telling the truth. But we look for clusters of movements which may indicate certain feelings or behaviors that someone isn't expressing. Or it may be truthful. You know, their bodily gestures are going along with what they're saying. So you'll, yeah, that person's probably telling the truth. So what I want to do is start out from an email from Ashley. And this is kind of interesting. So I thought, hey, what the heck, let's go for it, because I do this. So Ashley wants to know how to use her body language to flirt with guys who she likes. So she asks me, she says, hey, Doc, I'm back in the dating world and have met some nice men, but can you give me some ideas about how to convey to someone that I like them with my body language without being too weird? And what should I talk about? No, I'm not making fun of you, Ashley. I'm just saying that this is really a common question, because, and I appreciate, by the way, what you said about not being too weird. Because, of course, we don't want to be too weird. We don't want to come off too obvious. So we have to be subtle about our movements. So you sound like you really want to know how to sort of put it out there and let people know you're interested. I guess you know how to let people know you're not interested, because you didn't ask me that one. So turn your back, say go away. No. So what I always suggest to people when they're out in public and out in like a mixer or a social thing where they're really kind of out to try to meet someone, it's always important to keep your approach really casual. Don't get yourself so nervous that you forget like basic conversational skills. You know, but try to stay calm. Okay, just you know, you can open the conversation gently. Usually, women are a little shyer about opening conversations when they meet guys. Some are not, but the really key things to do when you said, "What do I talk about?" or "How should I act?" It's always a good idea to not talk about yourself too much when you meet people. And this is first time dating, second time dating too. I'm not saying clam up. Put a big wall around you. That's acting weird, like you said, Ashley. But, you know, most of us are pretty comfortable talking about ourselves because it's a topic we know well. But it's always good to encourage the other person to talk about themselves. So you can ask, you know, personal questions that are shallow. No deep stuff. Don't get weird. Just keep it light. Keep it ha-ha funny. All right. So here's the thing about body language. If you want to communicate your intentions, what you can kind of do if you want to show to someone that you like them is to keep your bodily, you know, movements kind of open. So what we're saying by this many times is don't cross your arms or your legs, because these are generally signs that you wish to isolate yourself from other people. You're kind of closing yourself off literally. Okay. So don't do that. You see people come up to you and they like fold their arms. That's a self-protective mechanism. They're like, oh God, I better protect myself. Or I'm going to deal with what this person has to say to me, so I'm ready, so I'm going to cross my arms. Okay, so turn your body toward the other person. I know that sounds really weird, because when we're talking to someone, we really usually do. But if there's a group around us, you know, you can indicate to that one person that you're interested in them by kind of turning your body slightly towards them, you know? So if you're standing or sitting, you can just sort of face that person. You can also point your feet in their direction. I know that sounds really strange, but it's just a subtle way of like, I'm really kind of interested in you. Okay. So it's really nice sometimes to not touch people, but make gestures towards them, like when they say something you like, if you're interested in them, kind of put your hand out like you're almost going to touch them and go, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. That's just sort of a subtle subconscious cue that you're reaching out and saying, wow, I kind of like what you're saying. If somebody, you know, is weird about touching you, you don't want to freak them out, because a lot of people don't want to be touched. Yeah. So that's just an idea. Just kind of gesture out with your hand, you know, gently. I really like what you're saying. Okay. It's always really good too to like maintain eye contact. You know, when you're talking to somebody, don't be looking around if there's other people or other guys or girl, whatever. Try to keep that eye contact. If you look away when you're talking, it might kind of look like you're insincere. Now, if you look up and you're thinking about an answer, that's normal. That's natural. But don't look away too much. And also, don't do creepy staring. You know what I'm talking about. I call it creepy eyes. Don't do that. Have you ever had people come up to you and they're just glaring at you? They just really want to lock onto you, let you know that they're here. No, that's creepy eyes. Don't do that. Keep it gentle. Soft. Also, what you can do, this is more bodily, vocal tools you can do, is lower the tone and volume of your voice slightly. You see what I'm saying? It kind of has, sometimes people want to hear you better, not get really quiet like you're manipulative, but just sort of lower your tone, and it makes you sound a little chiller, you know, like you're more relaxed. So lower the tone and the volume of your voice. That's always a good thing as well. And guys out there, you really have to be careful sometimes, because some of your compliments or the things you say, some of your, you know, lines, they're kind of lame. So I'm sorry, but you have to be a little careful about complimenting looks. I mean, women, we like to be complimented. Okay, we do. But she might label you as creepy if you say she has really a nice figure, or, you know, if you're on too much. Oh, your eyes are beautiful. You have a beautiful smile. Your hair. Just back off and say, wow, you look great tonight. Something like that. Just be kind of chill with that. But this is actually for Ashley, the girl here who wants a little help. So, you know, if you want to just come off like you like someone, just keep your approach casual and do all those things that I suggested. And you can compliment the other person too. You say, wow, you look great. And the eye contact, the body language, you know, keep your hands open, keep your arms open, comfortable. But, you know, just let everything relax and it'll just go naturally. All right. And also keeping it light, you know, have a lot of humor, laugh. That's always good too. Because you're not uptight and you don't come off like you're, oh my God, I really want to meet someone. Because people can feel it. It's very uncomfortable for them. So that's the way it goes. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here, and I hope I helped you, Ashley, with that question. If you want to email me a question, if you have a comment about that, give me a shout here on my straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. All right, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. By the way, I want to thank one of my sponsors today, Glow Soulwear. I don't know if you've ever checked them out or not, but Glow Soulwear is amazing. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. It's high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. So their logo is, when you wear Glow Soulwear, you feel a higher vibration. So just lighten up and check out glowsacredgeometry.com. Glowsacredgeometry.com. You can Google in Glow Soulwear and it'll pop right up there. And then you can see all the cool clothes that they have to offer. Sports, yoga clothes, everything you need there in the sports category, casual, and a lot of other cool accessories go along with it too in sacred geometric designs. Thanks guys for being a sponsor today, and I love your stuff. I'm wearing a Glow Soulwear shirt right now. It's awesome. Metatron's cube. Are you kidding me? What kind of power is that? It's great power. All right. Let's talk about the next email I want to answer from Kevin. And this is a lot of relationship stuff going on today. Because, I mean, hey, what are we? Who are we without relationships? And that's really the source of most of the questions that I answer in my private practice office too, whether it's family relations, personal relations with friends, whatever. So Kevin says, why can't I find the right person for me? I've had some bad relationship experiences with drama queens, women who don't trust me or want me to be their therapist. Oh dear. I really am a nice guy and I want a committed relationship with someone who's normal. How can I figure out what I want in a woman? I kind of know what I don't want, but would you like to clarify this for me? what are some good signs to warn me of these kind of women so I don't keep repeating my mistakes? Kevin, that's great. I love that. And I hear this all the time. Because sometimes nice guys, I'm just saying, kind of attract people who are, you know, kind of needy. Like you say, women who want me to be their therapist. You sound like you're a guy who listens, which is awesome. And that's good. And I appreciate that. So, what I always say to people who are trying to find the right person for them is you have to just sort of clarify exactly what qualities you don't want in a partner, like you told me. Okay. You know, it's really important to really specifically focus on what we do want, you know. And it's always important to find out what psychologists define as healthier characteristics in a possible mate or a perfect partner for you. So what I always suggest people do, it always helps sometimes visually to write things down. Because writing down thoughts and seeing the words in front of us can kind of help us make clear choices. So, Kevin, I think a good first step for you is to jot down, word process, whatever, what you consider to be the most important qualities you must have in a partner. For instance, I mean, if appearance is an extremely important characteristic, then write it down. I mean, some people say that's kind of shallow. But if you're unattracted to somebody and are constantly trying to overlook that, it's usually not a good match, right? So put that down. Put down what's important to you. It's also important to, write down on another side of a piece of paper or process the qualities you absolutely don't want in a person. So these would be the deal breakers, Kevin, or the negative qualities that you know you'll never be happy with, no matter how you try to justify them. So you have to define what qualities you're willing to overlook. So let's see, I'm trying to think of an example. You might be willing to be with someone who you're somewhat attracted to if they have a great sense of humor, because that's more important to you, that they get your jokes, that they're subtle, that they're witty, that whatever. So preferences on your list may change. It's important to be willing, though, to stick to your honest decisions about what you want and what you don't want in a partner. You know? And it's also important to know that finding the right match with somebody whose personality and hobbies, communication style, and physical qualities you can appreciate and respect are the first part of knowing what's important to you and finding the right partner. I think you should be aware of other essential personality traits and behavior styles that make really good partners too. So you asked me what makes a good kind of partner. So let me just kind of tell you, let me bring up some of my studies here on people, see if I can remember some of this stuff. People who have certain other types of qualities have longer, happier, and healthier relationships. So one of these characteristics is being emotionally open. That's really important. So, Kevin, if your partner or people you're going out with, you're trying to really get to know, can't really identify and share their feelings with you, then they're probably not ready to be in an intimate relationship, okay? Also, a lot of studies show that healthy people are able to show us their love and trust. You mentioned you have trust issues with some people, by being open and honest and vulnerable. Now, I'm not talking about those people who have no boundaries and tell us way too much information, probably like the drama queens you're talking about, Kevin. There's drama kings, too, don't get me wrong. But sometimes people, oh, man, they talk about their lives and feelings, and we're just getting to know them, and it's just way too much information. So it's important to be with someone who does not have a wall around them and can't really be open with their feelings. So somewhere in the middle, you know what I'm saying? So other important healthy qualities in partners who have more long-term relationships include the ability to be honest, have integrity, and are trustworthy. Okay? Because people with some of these qualities usually are pretty honest with themselves and other people, and they take responsibility for their actions. So they own their stuff. And they hopefully have a decent moral compass. You know. And some of the other qualities that you should look for, Kevin, that make for healthy folks, just saying, include being mature and responsible, being open to personal growth. You know, oh, yeah, I do that a lot. Maybe I got to change that trait. Having a little more self-esteem, not narcissistic, but self-esteem. They're good. They like themselves. They like what they do. And folks who have a generally positive attitude towards life. Because if you're looking for a really mature and responsible person who's got their act together, they can usually take care of themselves emotionally, Kevin. They're not going to be, you know, wanting you to be their therapist, which is really draining. You know, they can usually take care of themselves physically and financially. And that really helps, too, when you respect someone in a relationship. You know, and I'm not saying if you get married, you decide to have kids, the woman has to work, whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when you meet someone and you want someone to be able to take care of themselves and not rely on you so much, as you were saying, that other women have in your life, Kevin. So those are just some attitudes, ideas, things to look for. You know, and define all the deal breakers like you suggested to me earlier. You know, so put that down so you can just kind of look at it. Then you can meet people and slowly sort of get to know them. And, you know, hey, it's like an interview. You use it as a checkbox. Is this person open? Yep. Is this person vulnerable and isn't like defensive? Yes. Okay, good. You check it off. You know, all the good stuff, and weigh them. It's up to you. You get to weigh them. All right. Hope I helped. Dr. Michelle here on LATalkRadio.com, and you're on the couch. And I thank y'all for your emails. Do you like that? Y'all? That's for my relatives down south. I thank y'all for that. Writing me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. What I'm doing today is I'm helping you out with some of the issues and questions that you've asked me throughout the weeks. And we don't really have a therapeutic relationship, but I'm really happy to give you suggestions and, you know, ideas about how to manage some of your questions and things that are going on with you. And I've called most of the folks, emailed them, let them know that they're going to be having their questions answered today. So glad you're with me, guys, and thank you so much for reaching out. It's always good to have you, and I'm happy to help if I can. All right. Let me read this next one from Christy. So I really enjoyed what she had to say, and I really appreciate your openness and honesty. She says, my boyfriend of 3 years dumped me because he said I was too needy, didn't own my mistakes in the relationship, and was too sensitive. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Sorry, Christy. She goes on to say, some of my friends say that they sometimes feel I need therapy because I can be too closed and needy. I've heard you talk about how to be healthier in a relationship, and I think I'm pretty nice, but I may pull on my friends too much and my relationships. I do have some low self-esteem issues. In parentheses, she writes, grew up with a family who always criticized me. I realized my parents had their problems, and I don't want to be like them. So how can I improve my relationships with other people? Well, thank you so much for reaching out and, you know, having the courage to ask that. It's so cool sometimes that we can learn from people in our lives who've hurt us, you know, growing up, whether it's parents or siblings or bullies at school or, you know, mean girls or mean boys or whatever. You know, we can learn a lot what we don't want to be like. You know, some of us don't learn. We just kind of project that stuff out into and onto other people. Unfortunately, some people do it to their kids, and the pattern keeps going and it never stops. So that's really bad, but hopefully we can learn from our mistakes. So here's some ideas for you. I don't know much other or many other details about you, Christy, but let me tell you what I think would be a really, you know, good group of suggestions, you know, for you to take care of you. And, you know, I always say at the end of the show, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others, because that's the way it works. It's not a narcissistic thing. So I always suggest that you do what you need to do for you. And I'm talking about everything. I mean, we all have personal needs, whether it's going to the gym after work or you know, taking some alone time on Saturday, or if somebody asks you to do something and your instinct is to honor your own need, do it. You know, I'm not saying you can't make sacrifices sometimes, but you got to take care of yourself first. You know, someone once said to me that people are like glasses of water. So if we don't do what we have to do to keep a glass full, we're going to need to take it from somebody else, which leaves them half full, and then they feel ripped off. So you want to feel whole and complete in your relationships. That's kind of cool. I always like that one. Also, in, you know, you talked about really being needy or being criticized by other people, that you don't want to be what your parents were criticizing you. That's why it's always really important to try to give people the benefit of the doubt. It's really tempting to doubt people. I mean, come on, every day in our lives out there in the world, you know, with people, boyfriends, friends, workplace situations, it's really to assume that many times they mean to make us feel inadequate, you know, by flaunting something. But, you know, look, we're not all angels. We always, you know, criticize other people. They criticize us. Lighten up. You know, if somebody really hurts you and is kind of reminding you of your parents, then don't have them as friends. Don't have them in your relationship world. But generally speaking, we do have to lighten up a little bit and really give our friends and loved ones some slack sometimes. I always say that you got to look at yourself for the problem first. You know, when you feel unhappy with yourself, it's always easy to find something wrong in a relationship. If you blame another person for what you're feeling, the solution is on them, right? But it's kind of faulty logic, I always say, because it gives people all the control, you know. And secondly, it usually doesn't solve the problem because it's not addressing the root cause. So I would always say, don't blame other people for your feelings. Ask yourself if there's something else going on, you know, something you did or what's triggering you to feel this way. Take responsibility for the problem. And then find a creative solution. Communicate openly. If somebody's really bothering you, ask them why they said what they said. You take charge. You be more controlling. And look at yourself. Little introspection. Wow, why am I knee-jerk reacting to that emotionally? I shouldn't be doing that anymore. It's driving people crazy. All right, what else? And, you know, just a note on projection, that we always call it projecting. It kind of refers to denying your own traits and then ascribing them to the outside world or other people. So if you're not a loyal and trusting friend, for instance, you may assume your friends are all out to get you because it allows you to avoid the discomfort of acknowledging your weaknesses. So a lot of people can really see this, and it, you know, it just comes back to self-awareness. And it is kind of hard work sometimes. And acknowledging our flaws isn't fun, but if you don't, you're going to continue seeing them in everybody else around you. You'll continue to hurt. And, you know, you got to own it sometimes. So you got to communicate openly. And choose your battles as well. You know, so we all know people who makes everything a fight. So you may have difficult people out there. Yeah, just don't argue. Just say, I'm choosing not to do this right now. I don't have to prove my point of view. You're out of control. I'm not going there. I'm trying to stay peaceful. And that's the way it is. You know, so you've got to think about those things as well. And don't be afraid to be vulnerable. I know you said that your friends look at you sort of as a victim or, you know, needy and that kind of thing. That doesn't mean you can't be vulnerable, you know, when you express your feelings to someone else. When you're vulnerable, actually, people think, ooh, I'm giving up my power. But that actually makes you more powerful because you have the strength to be honest, you see. Always think about before acting on emotion, like I said, that knee-jerk reaction. And another really important point that might help you out is enjoy other people's company. You talked about guys and your friends and family and stuff like that. Enjoy their company more than their approval. Okay? That's a really big one. Because when you desperately need someone's approval, your relationship becomes all about what they do for you and how often they stroke your ego and, you know, bring you up when you feel down and all that kind of thing. So these are just some ideas for you, and I really thank you so much for being vulnerable and writing here to me on the couch. It was a really great question, and I really am sorry that your boyfriend of 3 years dumped you. But I would suggest you get some help, too, through therapy. There's a lot of great relationship therapists out there. And, you know, you can look into different specialties that really might help you. But thanks for being so honest and open about that. That's your first step, girl, right here on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. And I thank you all for emailing me some questions that you've had throughout the last several weeks. And I'm getting to them today. I let you know I've called or emailed you all to let you know that you are going to be having some of your issued answers and issues put out in the open. So it's best to do it via email sometimes because nobody knows who you are. They don't hear your voice. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. And I want to, speaking about relationships, I want to thank my other sponsor today. It's AskARelationshipExpert.com. So if you have problems, AskARelationshipExpert.com is a great place to go when you need answers to your relationship questions now. And there are well-known relationship experts who are ready and available to take your calls anytime. When you can't get in to see your therapist, calling and talking to one of these experts might be the next best thing for you. Day and night relationship advice you can count on is only a call away. And some of these experts are well known, especially one of our very own former LA Talk Radio hosts, the ultimate matchmaker, Gina Hendricks. She's awesome. It's AskARelationshipExpert.com. The number to call is 888-813-0293, 888-813-0293. A good bunch of people, and Gina is a good friend, and she really does help people with a relationship. She's very knowledgeable and an awesome person. So thanks, guys, for being a sponsor. Hope they can help you out if you need it out there. All right, let's get to the next email. I want to just kind of roll through these so I can help you out. This one's from Bo, and I love that name, Bo. He says, "Hey, Doc, I'm a mess right now. My job is so stressful, and my boss is a bully. No one likes her." Oh, dang. "No matter how hard I work, I can never please her. My girlfriend always complains about me not paying enough attention to her and that I don't fulfill her emotional needs. My dad lost his job and continues to ask me for money. And my mom, who's divorced from dad, criticizes me for helping my dad." Oh, boy. I'm so sorry. "I've been drinking too much to calm my stress, but it makes me more depressed. I feel like I'm totally out of control in my life and don't know how to handle this stress. How can I keep from falling apart?" Wow. Okay, Bo, here's the deal. You got to call somebody and get some help. An anxiety or stress management expert. Please, please, please. Whatever state you're from, you know, psychologytoday.com is great. It's a great resource. You just put in your city and they'll pull up the specialty of all those people and you get to identify who they are. And there's bios and pictures, and so it's really great and helpful. So, Bo, here, let me help you out for a little bit. You have already identified the sources of stress in your life. I mean, that's like how we begin, because a lot of people go, "Oh my God, I'm so stressed. I don't know what to do." It's not as easy as it sounds because, I mean, there's so much going on, you know. So if you're always worried about all these things going on, you can't catastrophize, as I say. In other words, you've got so much going on, it's like all these bubbles above your head. You know, like in the cartoons, it's like, "Oh my God, what do I do about my dad? He has no money. I've got to work hard. But I hate my job. My boss is horrible. My girlfriend is terrible. She's always," you know, you have all these little bubbles of gotta do's, pay bills, blah, blah, blah. We all do. So you can't catastrophize and put them all in one box and like you have to handle them all in one day. You have to take your time and prioritize according to each situation and the moment you're in them. So don't worry about how you're going to deal with your girlfriend tonight when you're sitting in your office. You focus on the task at hand in your office. When you're with your girlfriend, you communicate openly with her. Hopefully you'll get some suggestions from Dr. Michelle here. And communicate better with her. And you're a good guy for helping out your dad. What an awesome dude. I'm really proud of you. So here are some ideas to manage your stress. Okay? You got to express your feelings instead of bottling them up. And I'm not talking about going, you know, crazy. You know, he's a crazy man. He's yelling. No, if something or someone is bothering you, communicate your concerns in an open and respectful way. Because if you don't voice your feelings, resentment's going to build up and the situation's going to remain the same. So in other words, if your girlfriend's criticizing you, that's a huge stressor all the time for things, then you got to talk to her about these things nicely. Don't fight. Okay? Just be more assertive. Also, great idea, Bo, to manage your time better. Poor time management causes a lot of stress when you're stretched too thin, you know what I'm saying, running behind. It's always good to try to stay calm and focused and plan things out, okay? It's always important, too, to try to adapt to the stressor. So if you can't change these things in your life, you got to change yourself. So you got to try to reframe some of these stressors, like view them from a more positive perspective, you know? So how can you look at the thing with your dad? You're helping him out. You know, you're a good guy. How can you work on the thing with your girlfriend? Reframe it by, I'm going to work on communicating with her openly and being not upset and stressed. And I'm going to focus on the positive. And I'm going to appreciate the job I have because it's bringing me income. And everybody else complains about the boss, so I'm not alone. And I can just kind of laugh about it. So, you know, you got to just sort of try to spin these things a little easier on you. Don't try to control the uncontrollable. Because many things in life are beyond our control. Especially the behavior of other people. Your boss. Your girlfriend. Your mom, you know. So focus on the things you can control, which is, right? I always say the only thing we can control are our thoughts, our reactions, our behaviors, our feelings. That's it. You know, that's it. So you can't kind of change anybody else. You just roll with it. You try to manage it the best way you can and not give other people the power to get you crazy. That's what I always say. Okay. So what you can do, you know, in terms of physical things to help you out, go for a walk, you know, go out into nature. I'm serious, man. There's nothing like a great hike. I don't care if you have to go to a park or drive somewhere. Get out and away if you can on the weekends. It really clears the head to go out into a beautiful place. You know, call a good friend, sweat out some tension with a good workout. You know what I'm saying? Do a hobby. Do a sport, man. That's a great one. You know, listen to some great music. Do stuff for you. Now, watch a great comedy. Watch some of your awesome movies that you really love. Just set aside relaxation time and time for you. You know, do something you enjoy every day, no matter how small. I know you're stressed. I get it. I know. But you got to eat healthy and, you know, you got to avoid drinking. You know, self-medicating with alcohol or drugs can, you know, provide it's like a quick escape from stress. But the thing is, it's only temporary. And then you're messing up your body, you know, inside as well. So manage that. I mean, you know, nice drink to relax is okay, I guess. But I mean, you say you're overdoing it. And that kind of worries me a little bit. So just take good care of yourself. Really do try to do something with breathing. Do some imagery techniques. Find a specialist in your area that does imagery, breathing, and relaxation. So you can do these things before you start your day. Or if you're one of those get up and go coffee guys, do it during your break at work. Doing it after work is great. Don't run and jump and go to the bar and have a drink. yeah, that'll chill you out. Do it before you go to bed at night. But find some tools. Go to iTunes. Find some great audio tapes. There's some great visuals, too, to help you relax and breathe and, you know, go to beautiful imagining of those vacations you want to be on. And that'll help you out. And Bo, I loved your question, and I thank you so much for being so open and honest about stuff. But, I mean, if we don't let other people get us crazy and let the situations outside of us control us, then we have a little happier of a life. I know. Everybody's always pulling on us. There's always something to do. There's always traffic. There's always bills. There's always issues at work. And on and on and on. But you get to kind of control how you think and you react to it. All right? And I think that's a really good way to do it. All righty. By the way, thank you so much, guys, for emailing me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. A lot of your questions are coming in, and I'm helping you with some of your problems and issues, just giving you suggestions. We don't have a therapeutic relationship, but I do try to throw out some ideas and help to you here on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. And you can go ahead, because from time to time I do like to give, you know, feedback. Sometimes I interview awesome self-help authors, you know, who are really amazing and can really help you out. But sometimes I also just like to, you know, get back to you on all these issues and things like that, because it's important that you know that I'm here for you, you know. Speaking about which, great self-help authors. Ah, next Friday. Oh, my gosh. He's just, like, so good. He's been on here so many times. It's Dr. Joseph Strand. And he's written a book. Oh, God, it's really good. It's called Do You Really Get Me? Do You Really Get Me? So it's how to find out how you can make yourself better for other people and really communicating better with the people in your life so they can get you. Dr. Joseph Strand, don't miss it. Really good stuff coming up next week here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. So let's rock here with the next question I have. Oh, this is a good one. I like this one. This is from Marie. She said, I was married to this guy for over 5 years. I left and divorced him over 25 years ago. Whoa. Because I felt that I was too young and needed to find out who I was before settling down. I recently met him again, and he wants to talk about getting back with me. Maybe we should start dating again. I like this guy, and he treated me well when I was with him. But I was just too young and stupid at the time to recognize it. I've been divorced for 2 years with the man I married after him. Is it a good thing to get back with an ex or not? Good question, Marie. I don't know. Okay, thank you for listening today. No, I'm sorry. I really don't know. I mean, here's the deal. I don't know if you were thinking about him for all of this time, because obviously you married again and divorced in 2 years, but absence can make the heart grow fonder. It really can. You know? Or it can clarify just how crazy you were to fall in love with your ex the first time around. I don't know. Either one. But you need to really think about some things if you're actually considering going back to him. You got to take some time to get honest with yourself first. And really, Marie, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Okay? You might just ask yourself a couple of questions to find out. Let me share with you some ideas you might ask yourself here. You said you were recently divorced. And you'd been with someone else for about 2 years. I don't know about your relationship, but relationships rather between, you know, this last person and your first husband. But you got to ask yourself, am I truly missing my ex? Or am I just missing having someone, anyone in my life? You know, in other words, are you feeling lonely? You got to ask yourself that. And also you have to ask yourself, is this like a rebound thing? Am I just like, oh yeah, he's a safety net. I was with him 25 years ago. He was always good to me. And I've grown up and that kind of thing. So you really have to see if you're going to the rebound place or, you know, if you're just feeling lonely. I don't know. Yeah, you said you were married to this guy for over 5 years, but you haven't really been with him. I don't know if you were friends with him off and on, or if you, when you divorced him over 25 years ago, when you were really young. I don't know. Have you been friends? It's cool if you've been friends. That's okay. And that makes it a lot easier, actually, because then you start out getting to know him slowly and being friends. You start being friends. You start dating again. This is not like, let's just jump back into, oh, I was married to you, so I'm just going to assume that, yeah, we're going to do that again. You got to take your time with this. You've changed. He's changed. Are you kidding me? 25 years ago? Hopefully you both changed for the better. And you're more mature and in touch with who you are. So if he was a good guy before, if he has that nice personality, you know, chances are he's probably still a good guy. Chances are, I don't know. Hopefully life and relationships haven't soured him or beaten him down. So when you're starting to go out with him, when you're starting to kind of get to know him again, because it is kind of like a stranger after 25 years. Come on now. You got to ask, what's changed since we were together the first time? I don't know. What's changed? You got to ask yourself, how will I feel if I go back and it ends up not working out again? Ooh. And you also have to ask yourself, how will I feel if I don't try and give it a second shot? So I know those are some contradictory statements, but nobody's going to tell you whether your relationship is worth giving a second shot or not. But just let your heart and your head be the guide. Be upfront with yourself first and foremost before giving it another go. Take it slow. To take care of yourself first, as I always say. And then, you know, like I say again, you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works in the world, right? All right. It's about that time. It's Dr. Michelle, and we're moving on, just about ready to go. Thank you so much for being on the couch today, guys. Thanks for your emails. I hope I helped you out at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Keep them coming. I'm happy to give you ideas and suggestions here on the air live. And again next week, Dr. Joseph Schran. Do you really get me? A lot of relationship help for you then. Stay on the couch for more great show and shows coming up. Check out my website here on latalkradio.com. This show will be up in the archives for replaying and or downloading tomorrow. Have a good one. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. It's Dr. Michelle. Bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Flashing red.